Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today's theme is Maitreya, which is carrying on from the previous program. And I'm going to begin with an article by Benjamin Krim's master titled The Herald of the New. Many will remember the present time as a time of trial, of tension and upheaval. Actually, seen with the more discerning eye, it is a time of renewal, of preparation for a new beginning. Thus may men take great hope from the present changes. The past has had its day and is fast failing to benefit the race. The young grow weary and fretful from its long dominion, and turn to drugs and crime to ease their souls' ennui and despair. Meanwhile, the Herald of the New is quietly inspiring a new generation of activists who will emerge in every nation, mindful of the needs of men everywhere. Already, as you know, the groups of activists for the new structures are working openly and courageously in many lands, showing a new aspiration which is forming in the hearts of millions. Respect for and cooperation with all, and an end to the old divisive greed. Thus are men finding the blueprint of the future time by renewing themselves in the simple teaching of Maitreya. Peace and justice are beginning to take center stage in the minds of millions. When men realize that sharing alone will bring these cherished concepts into being, they will embark on a transformation of society beyond anything envisaged until now. Stage by stage, these changes will be adopted and tried out for general use. The pain and sense of loss of today will give way to renewed hope and satisfaction that the world is at last on the right path, and thus experiments can be safely undertaken. Thus will disappear the fear of change. Great transformations will proceed in ordered sequence as men realize the beauty of the new forms. Gradually, the old divisive ways of the past will be seen as the mistakes of the past and die out, useless to the new unity. The words and example of Maitreya will hasten the sense of the unity, which will more and more manifest the energies of Aquarius, drawing men into a synthesis unknown today. At the present time, the masters in their various centers work through their groups to bring about these changes with the minimum of social upheaval. Theirs is the task to empower change at an acceptable rate with evolution rather than revolution. This is not easy to do, for men, when young, are impatient for the new, and when old, are resistant to change, thus the present turmoil. Many await this time with hope and joy. Many more are locked in hopelessness and fear. Many are eager to see the future world free from war and destitution. Many more wait warily for their burden to lighten. Maitreya will awaken men to their destiny and free them from fear and doubt. He will free them too from the constant sense of alienation and distrust. Men's long winter in the wilderness has prepared them for the simpler, happier times ahead. And that was initially published in She International magazine in the December 2011 issue. And actually, before I go on with excerpts from the books, I thought it might be a good idea just to read a little bit of background information, just in case some of you have no information as yet about who Maitreya is. So here's a little bit from the intro that's at the front of the magazine. All the great religions posit the idea of a further revelation to be given by a future teacher. Christians hope for the return of the Christ. Buddhists look for Maitreya Buddha, while Muslims await the Imam Mahdi. Hindus, a reincarnation of Krishna, and Jews, the Messiah. Esotericists know all these as different names for the same great being, the Lord Maitreya, the world teacher, the head of our planet's spiritual hierarchy, and look for his imminent return now. In July 1977, Maitreya emerged from his center in the Himalayas like a thief in the night. Since then, he has lived in London as a seemingly ordinary man concerned with modern problems, political, economic, social, spiritual, and environmental. Since March 1978, he has been known as a spokesman in the Pakistani Indian community. He is not a religious leader, but an educator in the broadest sense, pointing the way out of the present world crisis. According to esoteric teaching, Maitreya manifested himself 2,000 years ago in Palestine by overshadowing his disciple Jesus, who is now the Master Jesus. This time, Maitreya has come himself. And he does not come alone, but is the senior member of a group known in the East as the Masters of Wisdom. As humanity's elder brothers, these enlightened men have inspired all the great human achievements age after age, working mainly from behind the scenes. Today, for the first time in 98,000 years, the Masters are emerging to live openly among us and will offer their guidance in the rebuilding of our world. Maitreya's spiritual teaching is in regards to the art of self-realization. The first steps are honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, and detachment. And his social concerns are reflected in his list of priorities, which are an adequate supply of the right food, adequate housing and shelter for all, healthcare and education as a universal right. Maitreya will advocate that the number one priority after the ending of starvation for millions will be the saving of the environment. Maitreya's message can be summarized in a few words: share and save the world. And the information about Maitreya's emergence was presented to the public between 1974 and 2016 by Scottish artist and author Benjamin Krem, who was the chief editor of Share International. His training for this work under a Master of Wisdom began in 1959. Mr. Krem lectured throughout the world on this subject, including in New Zealand, by the way. He was the author of more than a dozen books and accepted no royalties or honoraria for his work. So that's a little bit of an intro for those not already familiar with who Maitreya is. Now for a couple of excerpts from Mr. Krem's books. This first one, I'm just trying to think which book it's from, might be Maitreya's Mission Volume 1. Anyway, here is the excerpt. The Masters have known for over 500 years that sooner or later they would have to return openly to the everyday world. The only question was when humanity would be ready for the entry of these advanced and, from our point of view, perfected men. The signal for this return was given in June 1945 at the end of the war by Maitreya himself. He announced to the assembled masters that he had decided to return to the everyday world at the earliest possible moment. As soon as humanity began to put its house in order, and would bring a large group of his disciples, the masters, into the world with him. And he said he would come when a measure of peace had been restored to the world, when the principle of sharing was at least beginning to govern economic affairs, and when the principle of goodwill was active, leading to right human relations. He hoped to come around 1950. It was hoped that the pain and the suffering of the war would have chastened humanity and led to a change of direction. But not all the nations had suffered, and soon the powers returned to the old competitive nationalistic ways of the past. Maitreya's coming was delayed, therefore, until July 1977, when he said he would wait no longer. On the 8th of July, he descended from his retreat, 6,000 meters high in the Himalayas, and spent several days on the plains of Pakistan, acclimatizing himself. On the 19th of July, 1977, he entered London, England, where he still lives as an apparently ordinary member of the Asian community. There he awaits an invitation from humanity to come forward as the world teacher. And here's actually the next little bit will be in the form of questions and answers mostly. And again, from Maitreya's Mission Volume 1. First question, why did Maitreya choose to emerge in London? Many people have asked me, why London? With a certain degree of envy. I mean, what is wrong with New York, for instance? Yes, quite so. As I said, in Los Angeles, if I had been Maitreya, I would have picked Laguna Beach or the Côte d'Azur. It is a question of the work of the disciples in preparing the way for him. He would come into that arena in which the disciples, along the line of his work, mainly in the economic and political field, have been the most successful. The disciples working in the United Kingdom have been rather more successful in their work than in other parts of the world. That is his major reason for coming to London. Of course, the more obvious reason is that, coming from the Himalayas as he does and descending as he did into Pakistan, he can come as a visitor into this country for a few years and lose himself in the Pakistani Indian community, which he was rather able to do too well. Another question and answer. Is the Christ necessarily confining himself to personal contacts within the Asian community only, since London contains so many other opportunities for contact, perhaps influence, both individually and socially? This is, by the way, asked back in 1983. So far, yes, he is at pains to emerge as a spokesman of the Asian community, identified with them and their problems, which is symptomatic of underprivileged humanity everywhere. He is therefore reluctant to spread the area of his activity beyond the group of which he is now a part. In this way, he can emerge as a man among men, one of the people emerging from their midst. Another question is, if the Christ is here, where may a devotee go to see and be with him? The last thing the Christ wants is a group of devotees around him. Those who see him in that kind of guru relationship are, I believe, mistaken. He is a teacher, an educator, an executive, and comes to help humanity to right the wrongs of society, rather than to have people sit devotedly at his lotus feet. Next question. Presumably, he does not need sleep. Surely those with whom he lives must realize that while in one way he truly is a man of the people, he is in no way ordinary. Do they know that he is the Christ or the Mahdi? Are they sworn to secrecy for the present? Those with whom he lives know who he is and are sworn to secrecy. They are close disciples. Next question. Does Maitreya eat food? Is he vegetarian? If so, what is his diet? Does he consume any alcohol? Maitreya does not need to eat, but can do so if required to for social purposes. In that case, he would eat only vegetarian food in small amounts. He never drinks alcohol. Next question, does he heal? Has he gained a reputation as a healer? He performs healing all the time, but is not known as a healer. None of the healing he carries out would call any attention to him. It is as unsensational as possible. The people healed do not even realize necessarily that they are receiving healing from him. He visits the sick in the hospital. While there, he heals others in the hospital without anyone being aware of it at all. Is Maitreya employed in some capacity by the local community? No, he is not employed, but that does not mean he is ever idle. He never ceases his work. Did Maitreya choose his own name? No, it was given to him by his master long, long ago in mid-Atlantean times when he took the second initiation. It means the happy one, the one who brings joy or gladness. Why is Christ in an Indian body? He is not in an Indian body. He has lived in the Himalayas for thousands of years and has really no nationality. The body in which he now appears is self-created as a thought form of himself and is not specifically Indian, although he does live in the Asian community in London and came through Pakistan to London. Another question. This one is from the book, The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, Mr. Krem's very first book. Is this the type of body the Christ will use, referring here to the Maya Varupa? And that is indeed what the Christ appears in. For several years, Maitreya, the Christ, built this body of manifestation and built it in such a way that he can live at our level of vibration in the physical world of everyday life at the center of world attention, leading mankind for the next 2,000 to 2,500 years. That body has to be basic enough and resilient enough to stand our vibration. And yet, at the same time, sensitive enough to bring in enough of his true spiritual stature to convince as the Christ and to do his work as the Christ, to release the energy of what's called the spirit of peace and the avatar of synthesis, the Buddha, the cosmic Christ energy, his own love ray, the energy of the incoming Aquarian forces, the energy of Pisces, the sum total of all that. He is a tremendous avatar. There has never been an avatar so equipped energetically as Maitreya is today, with the energies of will, love, and light, and the whole of this in a body that will be resistant enough to withstand the effect of our vibration. Now, he has solved this equation. It took some years to build this body, and he did it in an altogether unique way. He could come into the world in his what's called body of light, but to live at our level of vibration for the next 2,500 years for the age of Aquarius in such a body would be painful in the extreme, and it is doubtful if the work could be done. It is also doubtful if we could stand the strain of his closeness in that body of light. His contact with us would necessarily be restricted. Thus, he created the body of manifestation, the Maya Varupa. And another question, what will Maitreya's initial task be? This is Back to Maitreya's Mission, Volume 1, by the way. In the first place, he would be concerned with inspiring humanity to create the conditions in which world peace can be guaranteed. He will show that this requires, above all, the acceptance of the principle of sharing. This will ensure a harmonizing of the imbalance caused today by the tremendous discrepancies in the living standards of the developed and developing nations. And I see we're short of time already. Thank you very much for listening. Probably the next program will also be on the theme of Maitreya. If you'd like further information, meanwhile, check out the website share-international.org. Wishing you all a lovely week.